How are you seeing today? You seeing more clearly? That was a prayer, actually, that the Apostle Paul prays. And he prays for the church, that the church would see better. You know, it's 2020. It's a brand new year. And our prayer this year is that we'd see better. It is 2020, isn't it? Yeah. So let's stand. Let's read some scripture today, and then we're going to have some fun today. And let's start with this. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. And all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Father, we thank You this morning for Your presence with us. Thank You, God, that You, the Creator, made us. And truly, God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, we thank You for the pumps in our body and the filters in our body, the piping. We are a created being made by a Creator. There's design in us. There's design in this world. We here today recognize not just design, but the designer. We come to learn. We come to understand who is God and who are we and who are we in compared to God. Lord, we thank You, God, that You've not left us in darkness, but You've shown great light into our lives. You are a God who cares, created, and loves. I pray, Lord God, that You would send Your Spirit on us today. I pray, Lord God, that You would help us to see more clearly who You are and who we are in Your eyes. I pray, Lord, that You would help us today to see who we were before Jesus and how You made us to be who we are. I pray that You would give us understanding in this and that You'd bring revelation and illumination. We pray this for Your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say what? Amen. Amen. It's good to see you all. Good morning. So I was with our youth. It's up, a youth that's like 40-some people up at Big Bear this week. And Big Bear Pine Summit Christian Camps. And I was up there yesterday. I went up yesterday morning, driving up. It said, you know what the outside temperature was on the car driving up yesterday? 27. 27. Big Bear's a beautiful place. I was born and raised up there. It was fun to go up there and be with our youth. And they learned, by the way, how many people has never been in the snow ever in your life? Is anyone? I was talking to some kids at the past break. I've never seen snow before. Man, there it is. So here's a tip. You don't walk on ice, you walk in snow. When you go down a street and it's all iced over, if you walk down the ice, guess what's going to happen to you? You slip on your butt. So what you do is you walk on the snow around the sides. It's just, you all flatlanders need to learn this stuff. Okay, so it was good. We're good to be up there with them last week and yesterday, came back last night, and God's doing a great work up in Big Bear. So don't complain about the weather, because it's nice down here. Before we get started today, we've been talking, Pastor Vince is going to be talking about testimonies. And testimonies is an interesting thing. The scripture says that we've been saved by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony, the power of a testimony. There's something about people giving confession and testimony. And there's testimony of how we met Christ, and there's testimony of what God is doing in our lives. And every time someone says, man, God, that's a testimony. And I get to hear a bunch of these. And every now and then, I get a chance to hear something, and I'm like, man, would you be willing to share that? And so it's kind of cool. So Ron and Barbara are here today, and their last name's Crowder. They've been coming to the church, I think, since November, right? October. Okay, so after Christmas, they came up to me, and I'm like, would you be willing to share that with the church? So, and they said, yeah. So, are you nervous? Can you guys come on? Can you welcome up Ron and Barbara Crowder? So I've been radically blessed by them because, you'll hear in a minute. How many people are involved in a small group? You should be if you aren't, right? Right? So you guys, I want you to tell us a little bit about you. And what's been going on? So, a couple things. First, tell us about you and coming to Woodbridge. And I mean, you're already plugged into a small group. Talk a little bit about that. And what's your experience been at this church? What, since, I don't know, October, right?
I'll let my wife go first. I'm glad she's holding the mic that Pastor Vince was holding first.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right? No, he's feeling good. He's looking better. Just hold it out like, No, I'm kidding. Just have fun. It's just like icicle or a popsicle or something right. Like that. Yeah.
Well, the thing that we shared, basically Ron and I moved to this area last February, and we visited your church in October, and we are here for a temporary time, but when we walk through the door, we're here temporary because we're moving to New Jersey in about a month or two.
Yeah, so, cold, colder.
You know what everybody asks us when we say that to them? Why would you move to New Jersey? Right, and we'll tell you about that in a minute.
So we feel the Lord's called us there. But basically, we came here and we shared with Pastor Frank that we felt so comfortable from the first time that we came through the door. We met so many people so quickly. And I think one of the first people we met was Billy Bob. And we met him in the church. And it was like we've known him forever. And he invited us to his home for the Bible study group there. He also invited Ron to the men's group, football game. And then when we went in the courtyard, we met Sandra, and we met several other people that were inviting.
Yeah.
And it was such a blessing because we felt comfortable right away. We've gone to other churches and never felt this comfortable, so we really appreciate the warm friendship that you guys have offered. So since then, that first week, I visited four different small groups because I happened to not be working, but I loved every minute meeting everybody. I visited Renee and Mark's groups, and after church, Steve Claffin's teaching.
Yeah.
So it's a great way to meet a lot of people is to join these groups and take advantage of all these wonderful teachings.
Right.
The other thing that I thought I was really impressed by is that your small groups pray a lot, and that's crucial. And so I just love that.
Right on. So well done, Woodbridge. I just want to say, it stinks if a person walks through the door and no one says hello, no one says hi, and the scripture says, and they will know that we are Christians by our love for one another. And if the church doesn't love one another and say hello to people, shame on us, right? Well done, church. Say hello. And if you're new here today, welcome, right? We're just glad you're here. So when they told me that, Pastor Frank said, yes, praise the Lord. But check this out, right?
Right. So, we had been going here, we had never met Pastor Frank, and so Carol, Barbara's sister, we call her Carol because that's her name. And we were talking and we just started telling our story to him. And, you know, we had these people here for 4 or 5 weeks in our house, in a little home. And I'm kind of going like, and then Carol invites her niece and her boyfriend. They slept in separate rooms. And Cole is a 22-year-old kid who's grown up in a really rough situation, and without a father figure. His father abandoned him, and his original, right? No, what? Of course, I don't know the story right, but here it is.
Basically, our niece and her boyfriend came to church to visit on the last Sunday of the month.
Right.
And there, he's very unchurched. He doesn't even really understand what sin is. And the sermon, if you remember from Pastor David,
right,
was wonderful. And
shame.
really, a beautiful time, but it was quite a shock to him. So.
And the key thing there was that the Holy Spirit was really working, and that comes through prayer and supplications and all the things, and he was very convicted. He says, you know, Pastor David was staring right at me.
Remember that?
And he was going, I just felt this conviction of, you know, that I needed to get right with God. And so we got him home, and we started explaining to him what sin meant, what a relationship meant. But it all started here, and we're very grateful. You know, you get people in your house, and you get kind of tired, and you wonder what's going on, and then all of a sudden something like this happens. You go like, would you do that for another year, for if somebody could come to Christ? I would hope you would.
Amen.
So you never know, you know, when you're, you know, extending your hand out past what you're capable of. It's then God's going, thank you, I can use that. So I'd ask you to just open your heart. If you're not in small groups, if you're not connected, it's a blessing, and
yeah,
you'll get way more. You know, just quickly, Pastor Frank, say that. You know, there's three types of people in the world: people that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and people say, "What the heck just happened?" And those people, those that were blindfolded, are going, "What the heck's happened?" Because they don't have Christ.
That's right.
They're blinded. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So, if that's you, and I'm asking you to take off that blinder and listen to the message that Pastor Frank's going to get through Jesus Christ today.
And that guy, he accepted Christ. Did you pray with him to accept Christ that day?
Yes.
Sunday after church, the guy accepts the Lord. And he felt the presence of God. And you know what's awesome is when someone sits in the back and they come, do you know how scary it is to come to church? I remember when I first came to church, all these weird people, and I'm going to go sit in there with all these weird people. That was my first thought. I sat in the back row and I'm looking at everybody talking about Jesus and stuff. But you feel God's presence, and something happens, and you later on you go, what was that?
Right.
And the Spirit of the Lord, I want to tell you, Woodbridge, God's at work. God is at work. I want to give testimony. We want to give testimony that God Almighty is at work, and He's drawing people to Himself. Those that are in darkness are seeing. Those that have chains on them are being set free. God is healing bodies and healing people, and God is doing great things. Testimony. You need to know that. He's here, He's real, He's awesome, and a young man accepts Christ, and the niece is going, crud, what does this mean? My boyfriend's now a Christian or something? And he's gone. He lives in Arizona. He was here one Sunday, and he met Jesus in one Sunday. So can we give God praise for that? Can we give God praise for that? Father, we thank You, Lord God, for our brother and sister over here, Lord. God, we get to spend eternity with Ron and Barbara. And we get to meet them on this side of eternity and share life together with them, Lord Jesus. We thank You, God, that You brought them into our family. We are grateful, Lord, that as they came here, they felt the love of Jesus. And they felt not judgment, but just love. And we're all on a journey, and Lord, I'm so grateful that they were able that church is more than a message on a Sunday morning. They began living in community with other Christians and praying with other believers and journeying together. And we're so grateful, God, for their niece's boyfriend who came here just one Sunday and You met him here, Lord. And the Spirit of God fell on him. And he was too afraid to come up and receive prayer. But after he went out, he asked questions. And in that day, he said yes to Jesus. One day, Lord, we thank You for him. We pray, Lord God, that he would grow in maturity and understanding, that he would learn who he is and who You are and what You're doing in his life and have done in his life, Jesus. God, we pray that he would walk in Christ and just be an amazing witness in the 21st century. So God, thank You for our brother and sister that came up here today to share testimony, to give testimony of what God is doing. God, may we all have the courage to give testimony this year of what you're doing. Pray this for your glory and in your name, and all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Can we give him a round of applause? Thank you so much. That's my paycheck. That's my paycheck. Has anyone ever heard of a guy named Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon, interesting guy. Charles Spurgeon was they call him the Prince of Preachers. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher in London, and in the late 1800s, and he wrote some great commentaries, especially the ones in Psalms, is ones I've got in my office. And Charles Spurgeon's famous one day, Charles Spurgeon was preaching in the late 1800s, and we came to his church. And he started giving his message, and he was giving the same message he had given the Sunday before. And people were sitting in the church, and they're listening to him going, this is what he gave last week. And some people began feeling embarrassed for Charles Spurgeon. Oh my goodness, that this man forgot. And apparently someone just kind of sheepishly raised their hand, Dr. Spurgeon, you gave this message last week. And he said, that's right. And I'm going to give it again next week. Until you live it. Isn't that cool? If there was ever a message that I was to give again, it was the message I gave last week. Last week, we began a brand new series called Seeing More Clearly in 2020. And last week, we opened the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, it's a great epistle. Many people call it the queen of the epistles. The Apostle Paul from prison in Rome wrote a letter, and many theologians call it, it's the foundational teachings of the Christian faith that he was writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church in and around Ephesus and to the universal church. And when the Apostle Paul began writing, he began describing who we are as children of God. And in 14 verses, in 10 times, he uses the word in Christ. In Him. In Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. All sins forgiven in Christ. Born again in Christ. Washed anew in Christ. Child of God in Christ. And the Apostle Paul prays in the 18th verse that the eyes of the hearts of the people would be enlightened to know who you are as a child of God. This teaching is so foundational to me and to all Christians because identity is critical. Who are you? When you were in junior high and high school, what identity did you embrace? Was it your looks or performance, achievements? As an adult, what identity do you embrace? I'm a mom. I'm a cop. I'm a businessman. I'm a millionaire. What identity do you plan on taking with you to heaven? Because every earthly identity will leave you. The only identity that you take to heaven is the identity that God has made you in His Son. You're a child of God. The day that I accepted Jesus, I just didn't receive salvation. I just didn't receive forgiveness of sins. I just didn't receive something that day. I became somebody. Do you understand? That is what Paul was. I pray, he pauses in this teaching and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He prays that the Holy Spirit would come and give revelation. That means like a curtain being pulled back. Have you ever been to a play and the curtain is pulled back, you begin to see. Paul prays that the Holy Spirit would help you to see who you are as a child of God, that the curtain would be pulled back, that you would understand who your true identity is, right? See, identity is critical to living because people live based upon what they perceive who they are. You are a child of God. Do you understand? See, it's important that you get this. If I was ever to give a sermon again, it would be this one. And again, and again, and again. To know Christ is absolutely critical. Very critical. So, Ephesians 1. Listen to the sermon that I gave last week again. Go online, listen to it again, and again. And go read it. Go through it again. Open the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and read it again. And read it again. And then read it again. In Christ, in Him, who are you? Your identity. This is who you are in Jesus. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, Paul begins talking about who you were before. Now, in order to enter into Ephesians chapter 2, I want to tell you a story because I believe that this story will help you in the journey into the second chapter of Ephesians. So I want to tell you a story, and I hope that this story helps us this morning on the journey of Ephesians chapter 2. So here goes the story. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who wanted a 57 T-Bird. Okay? Once upon a time, there was this little boy who wanted a 57 T-Bird. And he worked hard and saved his allowance until one day he had his dream car and he was so happy. Okay? He would drive down the street and wave to everybody he saw, spreading happiness and joy because he was so happy. Do you like this so far? But his brothers were mad and jealous that Jeremiah had a 57 T-Bird. And so they decided to destroy Jeremiah's car with a baseball bat. And Jeremiah was heartbroken at the destruction of his beloved 57 T-Bird. And wouldn't you? So what should Jeremiah do to his brothers? What's his options? Jeremiah could give his brothers justice. Right? Justice. If you want to take note this morning, you should. Justice is getting what you deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve. And in this case, his brothers deserve punishment. Does anyone disagree? Right? What is Jeremiah's options? Well, he could give his brothers judgment. Justice is getting what you deserve. And in this case, punishment. What else? What other option does Jeremiah have? He could give his brothers mercy. Don't hit us with the bat. He could give them justice. He could give them mercy. What is mercy? Take notes this morning. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Okay? So Jeremiah could give his brothers justice. He could give his brothers mercy. Are you with me so far? Does Jeremiah have a third option? What is it? He could give his brothers grace. And in this case, he could give his brothers $100 bills and candy bars for destroying his car. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Does his brothers deserve $100 bills and candy bars for them destroying his car? Answer? And if he was to give them $100 bills and candy bars, that is giving them what they do not deserve. That's called unmerited favor. It's called grace. Are you with me so far this morning? Take notes. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Justice. Mercy. Grace. Do you see the difference? Now let's read Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, the Apostle Paul says, you, before you were in Christ, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Spiritual deadness without Christ. Characterizing a person without God, separated from God. As for you, before Ephesians 1, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's speaking about your old life. Before Ephesians 1, when you used to walk, when you used to live in the ways of the world, in the lost world system that pushes out the one true God, that pushes out the rule of God, pushes out the place that God should have in our lives. And it's demonic in its root. It's rebellion against the Creator. Rebellion against God, or the refusal to believe in God. And you, guess what? It's inherent this is inherent in all of our lives. All of us have this in us. Ephesians 2, 1 through 4, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them, the disobedient against God. And notice Paul says, all of us, including Paul himself. He says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, just like the rest. We, Paul says, were by nature, were objects of wrath of the bat. People, we deserve God's punishment. Justice. We deserve justice. But, here's the best word in the, but, all this is terrible, but because of His great love for us, God who's rich in mercy, God is rich in not giving you what you deserve. There's an inexhaustible supply in the treasury of God for mercy. More than what I have, I must say. God, rich in mercy. But because of his great love for us, did you know he loved you? And loves you. God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Right? Made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God raises us up into heaven in Christ. He enthrones us with Christ in the heavenly realms. And God raised us up with Christ and seats us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Jesus, right? Friends, this salvation, this jar, is God's publicity program to the whole world. If He could show you mercy and grace, He can show it to anybody. Do I hear an amen? If God can show mercy and grace to you, He can do it to anybody. It's His publicity program in the world. And not just now, but in ages past and in the future. And not just in this realm, but trip out, even in the spiritual realm. What God does to you and I, even the angels long to look. But because of His great love for us, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, in order that the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Seats us in the heavenly realms. For it is by grace you've been saved. Through faith, and this not of yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Do I hear an amen? People, outside of Jesus, you're dead. In your transgressions, you're dead. In your transgressions and sins. I was reading, have you ever heard of the Battle of Stalingrad? World War II, the Germans had tried to take this city, and the Russians had encircled them. And these letters, you can read the letters of the soldiers that were encircled in Stalingrad, and they were writing letters home, and their letters were, "We're dead. We're dead. There's no hope. We're encircled. Treat us as dead men." And they were. And they did. The Russians killed them. Justice, the Russians would say. You outside of Christ are dead. No hope. Your transgressions, your sins. Transgressions means that you've crossed the line. Every time you cross over the speed limit, did anyone speed this morning? Did you know that if you just crossed over that, you transgressed, you crossed over a line, your transgressions. It's a situational thing that happens. Sins is just this general state of you're dead, right? When we transgress all the time, outside of Christ, people, you're in trouble. Our salvation, our possession, our identity of who we are in Christ, being blessed and chosen and adopted and redeemed and forgiven and enlightened, given riches and inheritance in the heavenly realms, being born again, being born in Christ, being a child of God, is all given because you deserved it. Not. Does anyone in here deserve the blood of Jesus? Anybody good enough in here to deserve the blood of Jesus? Anybody in here in the story, is his brothers good enough? I deserve $100 bill from you because I just destroyed what you worked for and loved so much. And by the way, give me a candy bar too. Anybody who thinks they're worthy of the blood of Christ do not understand the holiness of God and your separation. And Paul rights of who we are in Ephesians 1, and he prays that we would get it. And then he rolls right in. If this is who you are, let me tell you who you were before you got in the jar. Take notes this morning. Note number 4, we are saved by your works. You're saved by your works. Answer? No. You're saved because of grace. God's unmerited favor. You do not deserve Jesus. You don't deserve Him coming. You do not deserve Him laying down His life for you. You don't deserve it. But you were given it because of God's mercy, His love for you, through grace. And on the cross, Jesus hung there because He loves you. Not because you deserved it, but because He cared for you and He wants you with Him. Love. Do we really understand grace? And grace and mercy is what makes Christianity different than every other religion in the world. Every religion in the world says that this is God and I've got to work my way up to God through some form of moral effort. God's there, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, you name it. There's God and I've got to work my way to be good through some form of moral effort. All religions are the same. Work your way to God. And this is what makes Christianity so different. Ephesians 1 and 2 is completely contrary to every other religion in the world. Because God, in His love and mercy and grace, has worked His way to you. All religions of the world, they don't understand. I have to work my way to God. It's through some form of my moral effort in order to be, I need to be better. I need to be good. How good is good enough? To a Muslim, how good do you have to be? Even Muhammad prayed, I hope I make it. I hope I was good enough. How good is good enough? How many good deeds outweigh the bad deeds? Does anyone ever try to figure this out? Jesus said this. In Matthew 5:48, you ever heard this one? Be perfect. Therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. According to Jesus, how good do you have to be? Perfect. Any perfect people in here? Have you ever met a perfect person? How good do you have to be? Perfect. I'm in trouble. Any perfect people? See, good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people do. Do you know any? Good people don't go to heaven. How good is good enough to even get there? Jesus sees perfect. Good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people do. Do you know any? For everybody else who's not perfect, Jesus comes for us. Not perfect people, us sinners, transgressors. Jesus comes for us, not perfect people, in order to take us to heaven. He comes for those that are not perfect. Anybody who's not perfect, I got great news for you this morning. He came for you. All religions, you work your way to God. Ephesians 1 are brilliant. It's totally contrary. God has worked His way to you. It's not your works. It's His. It's not your works, it's His. Because of His great love for us, listen to this, Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. Because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God in His love for you, through mercy and grace, has saved you through His Son Jesus and what He's done for you on the cross. In religions, people try to work their way to heaven. Christianity, God has worked His way to you through His Son. Why would He do this? Because He loves you. Why did Jeremiah not beat up his brothers? Oh, I love them. What they did was wrong. See, religions focus on do. Do. Have you done enough? Have you done enough? Religions focus on do. Christianity focuses on Jesus. Did you notice? Did you see the difference? Religions focus, this is what I've got to do to be made right with God. I focus on what I need to do to get there. Five pillars of Islam, whatever. Christians focus on Jesus and what He's already done. I don't focus on me and what I'm doing. I focus on Christ and what He's done. Religion is do, D-O. The good news of Jesus is D-O-N-E. Done. It's not do, it's done. Difference? Do you see the difference? There's no boasting. If Jesus does this for you, then what boasting do you have? None. Who are you to boast? He did it for you out of grace and mercy. And all you do is sit there and say, no way. Here's the $100 bill. No way. And here's, there's no boasting. You're shocked. You're in awe. You should be stunned. You should be blown away. You should be feeling grateful and thankful. Right? Salvation and all that comes by it is by the sheer unmerited favor of God. And boasting is out of place. I pray that you leave the service today thinking on this. Paul prays that you would see, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened of who you are, who you were, and how, what was the means by which God made you who you are. And it's not by your good works. It's not by your good works so that no one can boast. It's by His work. Are you with me? So tell me you're with me. Do you get this? Do we really understand grace? Do we really get what Jesus has done for us? Take notes this morning. We are not saved by our good works. You are not saved by your good works. Foundational to a Christian. A Hindu would disagree. A Buddhist would disagree. A Muslim would disagree. And then you read Jesus. It's not isn't that wonderful? How many push-ups do you need to do for God to where then He accepts you? Think about it. Is God mad at you? Give me 50 push-ups and maybe I'll like you. Is that who God is? God wants you to work so you can be good enough and maybe He'll accept you? Is that God? It's not. Paul prays, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It's not by your works that you're saved. If you're not saved by your good works, then why do them? I've had a Muslim. I don't get you Christians. Jesus just does it for you and you walk away? He didn't get it. I understand. Then why do anything? For by grace you've been saved, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, check this out, to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. Well, if we're not saved by our good works, then why should we serve the Lord? Why should we follow Christ? Why should we give? Why should we go to church? Why go on a missions trip if I don't work my way to heaven? Is that a good question? Before, one of my first jobs, I washed cars for a living as a kid in high school. I worked at a place washing cars, Elephant Car Wash down in Palm Springs, Highway 111. Anyone ever got their car washed there? I used to be the guy out there drying cars. I washed cars. This is my first job, right? Okay? And I made good money in tips, by the way, back then, the 80s. I washed my wife's car because I love her. Her car's dirty. And I love her. When I was growing up in Dana Point at college, I hired someone to come in and clean our apartment. Have you ever heard the rumors of a bachelor pad? That was me. That was mine. And I'd hire someone to come and they'd clean up. My wife cleans up our house. She makes my bed. Why?
She loves you.
It's a work. She's working her way. She does it because she loves me. You go on a missions trip. A few weeks ago, there's two guys walking down our street in white shirts, little badges on them that says elder. You know what I'm talking about? Why are they coming and knocking on your door? Because as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may become. They are doing good works to earn themselves into godhood. The reason why they're knocking on your door is not because they care about you and your eternal security, because in Mormonism, all people basically go to heaven, except people that speak against it. So I'm damned because I don't believe in Joseph Smith, and I speak against the false prophet Joseph. They're going there and knocking on your door because they're working their way into godhood. They're not going there because of you. They're going there because of them. I'm going on my mission because I'm being a good Mormon and I'm working my way up as man is, God once was. And as God is, man may become. I can become a God one day if I do all the right things. Do you understand? The motivation. You know what? I was in Romania for 8 weeks in the 90s sharing Jesus with people right after the Iron Curtain went down. Eating horrible food and throwing up, eating stuff that I... gross. I've been to Haiti, digging wells in Haiti. I've seen poverty beyond belief. And there are days when I remember sitting in Haiti going, why am I here? There was a spider in our bedroom the size of our hand in Hench, in the city of Hench. And this thing was as fast, right, Ryan? Ryan was there with me. This spider was as fast as a lizard. We couldn't get it. We got one in Jessica's room, and the blood splatter on the wall was unbelievable. But we couldn't get the one in our bedroom. And when he hit our bedpost, he made a thud sound as we were trying to get him. And we couldn't get him. So I just decided we just went to bed talking about Star Wars. The whole time I'm in Haiti going, why am I here? What am I doing here? I should be in Tahiti surfing. And I think of Jesus coming for me. I think of Jesus coming for me. I think of Jesus dying on a cross for me. And I think of these people, by the Spirit of God, He called us here. And we're there to love these people in the name of Christ. I wasn't there to earn my way to heaven. Then why, Frankie? I was there because somebody has loved me. And because he's loved me so much, it's consumed. He's transformed the way I see and think and live. We go to the Philippines every year. And you see these people in poverty beyond belief. We're not going there to work our way to heaven. We're going there because we love Jesus and He loves us. And the mercy and His grace He's shown to us transforms how we live. You see, God, you're not saved by your works. But you should take notes this morning. God saved you for good works. For good works. As God has loved you, you show mercy and love and grace to others. You do to others, and in doing so, you make this world a better place. If you're merciful and graceful and loving, you make this world a better place. As God has shown love and mercy and grace to you, you live that out. And in by doing so, you make this world a better place. God has created you. You are God's handiwork. God has you're transformed. You're transformed. You're God's handiwork. The blood of Jesus has made you different. And as God has made you different, He's created you to reflect what He's done and who you are as a child of God. And as you live this out, the world's a better place. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't turn on. It is to shine so all can see. You as the child of God, you who is born again, you are to live a different life of freedom and thanksgiving and mercy and grace and love. God, as He's shown this to you, you are to live it out. Not that you earn your way to heaven, but because you got there. Do you understand? This is basics. This is Christianity 101. Ephesians is awesome. Ephesians is amazing. You've been saved, people, by grace. You're a child of God. Look at yourself differently. You need to know who you are. And you need to remember who you were and how you got to who you are. And as you really think this through, you'll have no boasting, no pride, no arrogance. You'll be filled with thankfulness and gratefulness and gratitude and love. Behold, a child of God. And you are different than every other religious thought on earth. Because in the very basic premise, you do nothing to receive this except by saying yes to Jesus, by faith. By faith. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you're sealed. Good people don't go to heaven. If you're here today, and you're like, I'm a good person, I don't need Jesus. How good is good enough? How good do you think you need to be so God says you're in? Perfection. Good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people do. Jesus came for everyone who's not perfect. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so you would understand who you are, who you were, and how you got to who you are. Paul prays that you would see more clearly. God, I pray that you, Christian, would be mature in this, that you would comprehend what this is and you'd stir it in, and that you would live it, and that you would get it. Because in all this is freedom. And you will feel like the most loved being on planet Earth. The most blessed being on planet Earth. The most grateful being on planet Earth. If you can understand God. Mercy. Grace. You do not want His justice. And He will give it in time. The Bible says you've been saved. Saved from what? Saved from separation from God for all eternity. Does that sound like fun? To be if you don't want God, then you don't get Him. To be separated from God for all eternity is a place called hell. Separation from the Almighty. You have to step over the body of Christ to get there. And arrogant people do all the time. Go for it. And you wait. The wrath of a righteous judge. God cannot sacrifice His holiness for sin, so He deals with it through Christ, because He loves you. See this? This represents God's love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe it upon Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This represents the love of God and the justice of God. God just doesn't go, we'll just forget it. Your sins are serious, so much so that Jesus took them on Himself. He took your sins, your transgressions on Him, because He can't just blow, He's not a good judge if He blows off evil. Jesus paid for you. This is the justice and the holiness of God and the love of God collides at the cross. And the one who hung on this cross is for you. And if you reject Him, good luck. You will regret it. Are you with me? Do we understand grace? Do we get it? If you hear a song, if you hear a sermon like this, don't you want to sing songs on grace? Anybody like the $100 bill that you got? Anyone like the $1,000 candy bar that you got? Did you like it? Anybody like Jesus? You got Him by grace. Worship team's going to come up. We're going to sing two songs. Broken Vessels, because we were broken before we were in Christ. And Amazing Grace. And I want you to sit here today, and I want you to listen to the power of the Holy Spirit speaking into your life, praying that you will see more clearly. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened to this truth. How do you feel this morning hearing this? How do you feel this morning hearing this? Grateful. How do you feel this morning hearing this? Empowered. How do you feel this morning hearing this? Loved. How do you feel this morning hearing this? Blessed. Your feelings are based in truth. May your feelings follow truth. And may your love for the one who makes this in your life just overflow in your life. Do you know that you can't work your way to make God love you more than He loves you already? You can't do anything to make God love you more today than He already does. You can't do something so He'll accept you more today than He already does. How does that make you feel? Makes me feel secure and safe. Peace. If you're here today and you need prayer, the Bible says to come out to the leaders of the church and let them pray over you. Maybe you're here today and there's something you need prayer for in your life. Financial, physical, spiritual, emotional. The Bible says to seek out the leaders of the church and let them pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you just have a physical, you just need prayer and healing in your life. Like my sister Jamie Belisi that came up for prayer, last year? And God healed her body. Maybe God here today would want to heal your body. I don't know. It's God's sovereignty. But if you're here today and you need a touch of the Lord, there's something in your heart, come forward and let us pray for you. Pastor Grandma BJ will be up here. Mike and Pat will be over here. And Pastor Vince will be up in the balcony. The Chows are up in the balcony. My beautiful bride Cindy will be up here. And I guess we'll roll with that so far. You know what? PJ's here today. Isn't it cool to see PJ and Laylot? You know what? If you need someone who really are... PJ and Laylot, would you be willing to pray with people up here today? They're just back from Thailand. We're here to love you and pray for you. Christian, do you understand who you are in the eyes of heaven? What identity do you plan on taking to heaven? You're only taking the one that God has given you in His Son, Jesus. Christian, do you understand who you are? Christian? Do you understand who you were in the eyes of heaven before Jesus came in your life? You were dead. Separated. Christian? Do you understand? Because of God's love for you, He has shown you mercy and grace in Christ. Jesus, help us to understand this. May the eyes of our heart be enlightened today. Spirit of the living God, help us to understand. In Jesus' name.